Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Well, those wildfires have surrounded Los Angeles, killing at least five people, destroying hundreds of homes, stretching firefighting resources and water supplies to the limit. More than 100,000 people were ordered to evacuate. Last night, US President Joe Biden cancelled a planned visit to Italy, the final foreign trip of his presidency, in favour of monitoring the federal response to the fires. Los Angeles County Sheriff Robert Luna says the focus now is safety.
This is a very difficult and challenging situation, but we're surrounded here by people who really care, and we're going to get through this together. That means with all of you as partners in our community. Our top priority continues to be the safety and well-being of our impacted residents, first responders, and all of the individuals involved. But understand that this is a very fluid situation, specifically in the Altadena area, and a lot of our personnel, our deputy personnel, are involved in life-saving measures.
Well, a resident of one of the worst affected areas, Pacific Palisades, described having to evacuate his home to the BBC.
We stood in the front and backyard with hoses, washing the embers off the bushes until we couldn't stand close enough to the fire without burning our eyes and our faces. And the smoke was invading our lungs. And at that point, we just figured there was nothing we can do. And we drove out of there as fast as we could, watching every tree in the neighborhood engulfed in flames. And we sat together with our family. I grabbed the most important things for memories. You know, there's things that can be bought again, some things that I don't make anymore. But I grabbed a box I keep full of notebooks I've written in. I grabbed all the hard drives that store all the photos and videos. And after that, it was just, what kind of stuff do I want? You know, I think we got each other, we got our memories, and we have this community that we're going to rebuild together.
Well, just before I came on air, I spoke to Marion McKeown, US correspondent with the Business Post, who is based in Los Angeles. And Marion had just returned from Runyon Canyon. And I began by asking her to describe what things are like there.
Runyon Canyon, just to put it in context for the listeners, Claire, is one of the biggest and most popular hiking spots in Los Angeles. From Runyon Canyon, you can see the whole of LA City and the Hollywood sign and all of that. And it's unusual in that it's in a very densely populated area. The canyon comes right down into apartment blocks. You know, it's a couple of hundred yards from Hollywood Boulevard. It's an area that a lot of people live, a lot of businesses. And when I went up there, there were a lot of helicopters in the air and trying to douse the flames, which looked pretty futile at that point. There were also like dozens and dozens of fire engines. There is a big fire road that goes up the entire way through Runyon Canyon, which is paved, which is probably quite helpful. But I saw scenes that were honestly like something out of a disaster movie. People were packing up their cars. People were dousing their houses with water along the roads there. They were like literally evacuating, trying to move with their families. I drove by a petrol station on Fairfax and Beverly Boulevard. There was chaos there. People were trying to fill their cars up. People couldn't get in. The queues were so long. The roads were blocked. A lot of anger, a lot of frustration, a lot of fear, really. And, you know, in the area out by Pacific Palisades and those areas, the entire stretches have just been destroyed. Restaurants we all used to go to, the Real Inn, Moonshadow, are completely gone. There are areas that look like a kind of it's almost like what you would see after a mass bombing is the only way I can describe the devastation there. So far, Runyon Canyon is contained to the canyon itself and that area, which is, as I say, a really big hiking park, dog park, all of that. But there's deep concern because it backs up against such a densely populated area that if it spreads or jumps. And the extraordinary thing about this, Claire, is that the palm trees are one of the biggest problems here, because you have all these palm trees and they're, you know, 6, 7, 8 stories high. Mm-hmm. And they look like Roman candles at the moment. They are completely ablaze. But all of the fronds, which are some of them 8 foot long, are flying off in the wind. And they're like improvised incendiary devices. So they're landing hundreds, thousands of feet away, even miles away. And I saw things that looked like flying footballs as well, which is the only way I can describe them, flaming, like balls of flame. So what happens is, and the reason these fires are so out of control, is that you have, as I said, these almost accidental incendiary device that are flying through the air at high speed, landing on people's wooden decks, landing on their roofs, landing on siding, landing on businesses, and then they just erupt. So the fires are spreading. It's 17,000 acres over in near Pacific Palisades now. Again, another 10,000 acres up the road near Glendale. It's the speed at which the fires are spreading and the extent of the devastation is really unlike anything I think people in Los Angeles have seen. Mm-hmm. I know so many people at the moment who are staying in hotels. I've got a friend here who's evacuating with me. He's got his dogs with him if you hear anything barking in the background. But everybody is trying to just help out everybody. But there is a terrible feeling of trepidation here.
Right.
And of course, the air is appalling. The smoke is just awful.
And we should say, I mean, you're really familiar with this area. This is where you live. So you will have seen wildfires in this area in the past. And how does this compare?
Oh, there's really no comparison in terms of, I mean, what we're seeing in Runyon and in these areas, it's most of the fires are wildfires. These are urban fires. These are fires that have destroyed whole areas of housing, not up in the hills, although a lot of the homes in the hills, the multi-million dollar homes in Pacific Palisades and Topanga and you know, around Pasadena, a lot of those homes, some of them belong to big name celebrities, are gone. But I think what the difference is, as I said, you literally have the Runyon Canyon fire is on the footstep of big apartment blocks, rows and rows of apartment blocks, densely populated built-up areas where lots and lots of people live, not just, you know, mansions that have maybe an acre or two around them. There are far more people here. Over 100,000 people have been forcibly, mandatorily evacuated at this point. But also the water pressure is really bad. The fire hydrants aren't working as efficiently as they should. And I got a message earlier saying, do not drink any of the water because the levels have depleted so much, the water is now not safe for drinking. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's, as I say, a feeling of when you see, as I said, people packing up their cars, trying to drive out, the short tempers, the trepidation. It really does feel very, you know, I think the word apocalyptic is being overused, but the scenes that we're witnessing, the 100-foot high walls of flame, it's hard to describe them as anything else.
And the BBC reporting this morning that fire service and firefighters are having to use water in swimming pools to try and douse the flame. So I suppose that's an indication of how much pressure and how much pressure they're under and how stretched they are.
Yeah, and they're working. I spoke with one fire person earlier, and he said that they're they've been doing very detailed press briefings and press conferences. They're working 48 hours without a break. They are so stretched that there are resources coming in from Arizona and from neighboring states as well. But the LA County firefighters have just been stretched to the absolute brink because there are now five separate fires. There was real concern about a fire in Studio City, which is close to Laurel Canyon. It seems, we don't know for sure, two houses burned down. It seems like it might have been a house fire, but they got that one under control very quickly. But as I say, the other fires are nowhere close under control. Now, the winds have dropped, which is a really good thing because yesterday the winds were just really, really high. But it's astonishing in that, like yesterday evening, I was walking up Runyon Canyon, as I always do, and it was magnificent. You could see smoke in the distance. And then tonight, the whole place is ablaze. So as I say, it's the speed at which these fires are erupting and are starting. And as I said, these surreal scenes where you're seeing these things that look like flaming footballs just flying through the air at high speed, landing everywhere and causing fires wherever they land.
And Marion, will you have to leave your apartment?
I'm a little bit further down. I'm hoping that we should be okay. A big evacuation centre has opened about a block away from where I am now. But so far, I think that the biggest concern, the most immediate concern would be Hollywood Boulevard, because that's it's not just a tourist trap. It's got a lot of businesses, but it's dense with apartments and homes as well in all of those areas. And it's really quite sad. As I said, I saw people leaving with their children and packing up their cars and, you know, trying to just get on the road to get away from you know, and some of these, they're beautiful homes. A lot of them are old wooden clapboard homes, which of course makes them even more dangerous and makes them even more vulnerable. Yeah.
Marion, thank you very much and look after yourself.
Absolutely.
There. Marion McKeown.
Will do, Claire. Thank you.
US correspondent with the Business Post. Thank you very much, Marion. Well, I'm joined now by Ciarán Nugent, who's wildfire specialist and board member of the International Association of Wildland Fire. Ciarán, thank you for being with us this morning, and an extraordinary description from Marion there, who has seen at first hand the damage that these fires are doing. Can you explain to us, though, what the conditions are that have led to this devastating level of wildfire in the area?
Yeah, I think we've just heard a really great description of explosive fire behaviour there. And I suppose the key part here is the wind. The wind conditions have been driving fire expansion. And then there's also preceding drought. There's been very low rainfall in that part of California. It's a very warm place. It's a Mediterranean type of landscape to begin with. But they've had a sort of preloading of drought for several years already, and what you see is lots of vegetation, very very low humidity, and all of that vegetation in those parks and the places that are burning, that forest is highly flammable anyway, and now you have this very low humidity, and then this wind is coming in, turbocharging all of that, and what we just heard described there, I think is it that ability of different types of plants, the palm trees, different types of stuff being blown, the embers being blown sometimes for kilometers, and enabling new fires to start and spread, and also enabling fires to spread into housing, into buildings and so on. Mm-hmm. The embers are being blown in to wooden buildings, old wooden buildings in many cases, and those are going alight. And what you have then is a very complex set of multiple large fires in an area, and I think the key part here is that this is not a forest fire. This is an urban interface fire next to large populations. So I think there's been a lot of work done, a lot of really good work done in terms of predicting what's happening here and preparing for that, and particularly preparing the evacuation. So while there have been casualties, unfortunately, relative to the population in the places involved, I think they've done a really good job to keep that as low as possible.
Right. I mean, I think people might be surprised to hear you say that, because we have reports, as I said to Marion, of firefighters having to use water from swimming pools and being powerless in many cases to stop the destruction of buildings, yeah. Residential homes. Sunset Boulevard, I read this morning on the BBC, is no more. So how do you square that away with them being, as you say, prepared and ready?
I think you have to square it away in terms of these are some of the best resourced, best equipped and best trained firefighting forces in the world, in that part of the US. And in terms of the when you see organizations like that challenged in the way they have been by the conditions, the key part is that when it comes to fighting fires in those conditions, there's actually very little sometimes that agencies can do to stop the fires once they've started. So it's about, and the focus in recent years following similar fires, there have been similar fires in Greece, in South America, and in Chile, in Portugal we saw in 2017. It's about preparing the land and preparing the communities to prevent and reduce the effects of these types of events when they do happen. So there's a lot of work needs to be done. And I think in this situation, keeping people safe is the prime thing. Property and other things become secondary and even tertiary sometimes, over and above keeping as many people safe as possible.
So you
moving people away from danger.
You won't have been surprised then to see the cars that were abandoned in Pacific Palisades being bulldozed off the road, because those emergency workers will be told your priority is to get in.
Their priority has been to keep those evacuation routes clear, and there's been work done in the last couple of days, I understand, by the police forces in those areas to keep the main evacuation routes clear of obstructions to facilitate an orderly evacuation if that was needed. So moving cars with bulldozers, keeping those routes clear for people coming out, but also to facilitate teams going in to fight the fire. That's par for course in that type of situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's mind-blowing. I mean, we've heard these descriptions from reporters on the ground. I was watching one on the BBC last night where she was describing the fire jumping across the motorway. Can you explain to us how that happens?
There's 100 miles per hour winds reported in this, 160 kilometres per hour. And that's just grabbing, as the correspondent described, grabbing embers, pieces of burning trees, burning material, and it's pushing that, it's lifting it and carrying it very long distances into other dry material ready to receive that, and where more fires can then start spotting, they call this. And you can see fires then spreading over very, very long distances sometimes in these conditions, and particularly driven by that wind, turbocharging the fire almost as it happens, and enabling that rapid, they call it explosive fire spread, not to over-dramatise it, but it's an explosive expansion of it, and completely unpredictable fire behaviour. Then, so it's a very, for firefighters on the ground, it's extremely dangerous.
Yeah, extremely dangerous and extremely difficult as well, particularly because they're dealing as well, with houses that are made of wood in their total or in part, and they will just go up. And we've seen that they go up so quickly, don't they?
They go up quickly, and they go up in almost whole streets or whole blocks of buildings. And what you're looking at there, you move out of the space of wildfires or forest fires into just large-scale urban conflagrations. You're talking about the Great Fire of London or the Chicago Fire. This is a similar thing. And the way housing is laid out, and particularly in these types of landscapes, what people have been learning and what countries have been learning in the last couple of years is that the way housing is laid out, the way communities are planned in fire-prone landscapes is critical, and that you have to design for fire resilience. You have to design with the materials that are being used, how the urban planning, how things are laid out, and how close together buildings are, the types of vegetation people have in their gardens, down to the type of lawns that people have. All of those things have an effect. And what you see when you look at some of the images of what's been burned, the wooden structures are burning, the wooden fences are burning, and you can even see where the vegetation in the gardens hasn't actually burned. It's the built environment now that's on fire. And then all of those houses have gas, other fuel sources involved as well.
Ciarán, thank you very much. Ciarán Nugent, their wildfire specialist. And we'll have more on the Californian wildfires a little later on. I was reading a story this morning of a young mother with a 2-year-old baby child having to leave a homeless shelter where she was staying because it wasn't safe to be there, walking out onto the street with nowhere to go. Then at the other end, you have Billy Crystal, Paris Hilton, James Woods, all people with, pretty much endless means, and their homes being razed to the ground over the last 24 hours. So more on that a little bit later. Also, we'll have the latest on the cold snap next. Met Aaron have issued another orange warning. Plus, we're going to hear about the killer Christmas cake, the extraordinary story of murder in Brazil, where the weapon was a festive family treat.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.